how long have you been planning this epic trip flying solo around Australia?
I started planning this about 5 years ago, so it's been a long time in the planning, but it's probably mainly the last 3 years that things have really started moving ahead and just getting everything sorted.
Just give us a little bit of background on where you took off from and where you've been so far.
I started on the 29th of April from Turidon in Melbourne, and we flew down to Tasmania first, down the west coast, then back up the east coast, then up the east coast of Australia, all the way to Darwin, which is that's where we are currently. So I must admit it's been eventful fairly challenging over the Bass Strait. When I was left Turidon and started flying over the Bass Strait, my oil pressure started dropping. I found out when I landed at Flinders Island that I had oil dripping from underneath the engine. So that was pretty scary, but luckily we fixed that. It was only a loose oil filter.
And did you find out about that while flying the plane? Because I do know that you have two other support planes following you.
I do. I fly solo in my plane. I've got a little Jabiru J230. And I have two support planes with six support crew. In each of these support planes, they have two pilots, plus I have a project coordinator, who's also my wife, Linda, and also a personal support person to give me a hand. So, well, those sorts of things, they'd be quite oblivious to. But no, it was only as I was crossing the Bass Strait that I noticed the oil pressure was dropping. And the gauge, my plane has played up occasionally, and then the oil pressure has dropped here and there. But all the other gauges seemed okay, so I didn't think too much of it. That's the oil temperature and also the engine temperature. But yeah, when I landed, Michael, one of the support plane pilots, said, "Oh, it all leaking from your engine." And I tell you, when that happened, my heart just dropped. I thought, "Oh no, don't tell me I've done my engine and the trip's over before it even started." But we pulled the cowl off and found out that the oil filter had loosened and was leaking oil. So it wasn't a serious problem.
You're listening to ABC Northwestern. Dave Yacka is my guest this morning. He is flying solo around Australia, and the reason why is he wants to raise the public's expectation of what people with disabilities can achieve. And so, Dave, you are a quadriplegic. What movement do you have to allow you to fly the plane?
I have about 6% of my physical function left. After breaking my neck, I'm classified, well, they classify as high-level quadriplegic because I broke the fifth vertebrae. And that means I have no finger function at all. I have limited arm function and can't move from armpits down. And also I can't regulate my body temperature, which makes it quite challenging, especially down in Tasmania where it's really cold. I just froze and I found it very difficult to keep warm. But also up here in the north, I overheat very easily, and so I've got to ensure I can keep myself cool. So in my plane, I've got a little spray bottle. So if I start getting too hot, I'll spray myself down, and with the wind coming in through the vents, it keeps me cool.
You sound confident, and are you in a good place at the moment with what life has brought your way?
Oh, yeah, look, yeah. I have a great life. I have certainly no regrets. Oh. It's, I probably do more than most people. And then I suppose the reason why, for me, my view is, you're really only limited by what you think you can do. Just because I'm in a wheelchair, I have a high-level disability, there's still way, it's just working out different ways to do things. That's all it is,
And so what are the plans for today? Where are you heading out to?
I'm currently in Darwin, where we landed yesterday, the day before, and so we've got three rest days here. And then we'll be leaving on Monday to fly to Kununurra for one night, and then down to Derby, and then down to Karratha and Roebourne, and all the way back down to Melbourne.
Well, it sounds like a thrilling trip. Before you go, your wife did tell me that you had a shaky landing at one place. Can you tell us what happened?
That was the scariest experience I've ever had flying in my entire life. I can tell you that. I came down. We're coming to Shute Harbour, which is Airlie Beach in Queensland, and all the way up the coast has been quite windy, which has been great because we've had a nice tailwind. But when I came to Shute Harbour, there's some high mountains around the airfield, and the airfield's actually in a valley. And as I was coming through this valley to turn onto the bay to line myself up for the approach, there's like about 28 knot winds, which is very strong. And the thing is, when wind blows over a mountain, you get a lot of rotor, which is like flying through a washing machine. And when I hit that, which I was unaware of, it was like a sledgehammer hitting my plane, and my head hit the roof.
Oh, no.
Three times, because the plane just fell away, and I ended up fell over, and because I got no movement from the armpits down, I had no balance, and I fell out over. My hands come up controls. The next time I'm getting knocked around in this moment, and I'm trying to sit myself up, and all I noticed was the ocean at the front of my windscreen, because the plane was starting to bank over and nose down. So I was trying to sit myself up and then regain control of the plane, and then I just went out and flew out over the bay, just trying to
sort myself
out. Yeah, so that was terrifying. But the biggest problem for me was that my knees had fallen over to the right hand side, and the control column that I used to steer the plane with, I couldn't use it to turn left. And so that was a scary thing for me, because I was just flying out there thinking, what in the hell am I going to do? I'm up here all alone. There's no one to help me. And it was all up to me. So I just flew around just trying to compose myself and just think it through. And that's all you can do. Just think it through and think what you can do. So I managed to straighten my leg, push my knees over a little bit, gave me a bit of a movement to be able to turn the plane to the left. And then just planned my approach on the airfield, which meant that because I couldn't turn left, had to stick right over close to the left-hand side near the mountains, fly very close to those, just in case if I get pushed over, I can to the right, then it gives me a bit of room. But well, I've got the plane on the ground all right. It was a very ordinary landing, but
it was extraordinary in the air.
It was. And look, at the end of the day, it was a very big learning for me. And like all these things you learn from, it's all about experience.